There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Everyone, welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I am your host, Lachelle Weamy, and today we get a chance to chat with Tracy Montgomery. You guys, she has been inspiring me for a while now. I love her story. I love everything that she's about. And I love the fact that not only is she passionate about, you know, keeping us from sabotaging ourselves, but she also helps to know that it's okay to not feel normal sometimes. And I just think that everything that she has to say is going to bless you today. So Tracy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Welcome.
Yes. And so, okay, I would love for you to give us an idea of how you're helping people today. What are you most passionate about?
Yes. So as you can see, I am in midlife. I'm not in the first flush of youth anymore. And I think that as we get older, we carry a little bit more around with us. Mm-hmm. And those cupboards get a little bit full of more skeletons than we expect. And sometimes those skeletons stay locked away and then they will come out and grab us just when we're not expecting it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in today's climate, women are, as they get a little bit older, we tend not to talk about what's actually happening to us. We tend to hide it away and we don't discuss it, and we will put up this front that everything's fine, the garden's all rosy, and sometimes we just need somebody out there to say, are you okay? Is everything going all right?
Yeah.
And at the same time, we forget those hormones that are knocking away in the background that are causing havoc for some women out there, and they can also be quite debilitating as you get on in life. Yeah. And those hormones go on that next roller coaster cycle.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I just love everything that you're doing. And you guys, if you haven't picked this up, you know, she's talking about the hormonal changes as we as women experience as we age, but she's also bringing into this conversation the fact that you have all this life experience and you're having to deal with things that you have maybe not dealt with in the past. And so I think it's such a timely conversation. Yesterday, actually, Tracy, I had a conversation with my son who's going to be 13 in like a couple of weeks. And he's like, Mom, I kind of had a little bit of an attitude last night. I'm really sorry. He's like, my biggest fear is I'm going to turn into one of those bratty teenagers. And it was kind of cute. It was kind of cute because he has his self-awareness. But I think that we have times of our lives and phases of our lives where our body does kind of feel like it's a little bit out of control.
Definitely.
And so it's really hard for us to show up as our best. And then when you tack on years of experience and life experience and things, you know, your conversation and the way that you help people is so profound that I'm really glad that you're here today.
Thank you. Yes, I think as women, we naturally nurture those around us, be it our own family, be it our colleagues, our work colleagues, our friends. We like to support people and we like to hold people up and show them as their best.
Yes.
And we often forget ourselves in that conversation. And we're so busy looking after everyone else around us that we forget to look after ourselves. We forget what's going on in the background.
Right, right.
And all those skills that we've brought with us to bring those people where they are are hugely important, not just to the people we're supporting, but to ourselves as well. And we need to give ourselves recognition for that.
Absolutely. I think that oftentimes you kind of hit the nail on the head that we don't even consider ourselves or think about ourselves all that often, unless we're, you know, putting ourselves down, comparing ourselves to other people or shaming ourselves for something. And very, you know, few times do we actually say, hey, you know, I'm really proud of myself for that. Or, hey, you know, I did a good job with that. And I think that that's so interesting because self-care can really and wrap itself, I guess, in the way that we talk to ourselves as well. Don't you think?
Yes. We're very, very quick to criticize ourselves, be self-critical, or say, we can't do that because Because rather than, oh, I've got this huge skill set, oh, I've done something similar, we always go on the negative and the defensive before we think, oh, well, yes, I could actually do that.
Yeah.
And it is, it's always the support somebody else, put somebody else first and not put ourselves first. We've all done it. And it's a natural thing that women do. And we forget what we can bring to the table.
Absolutely. So tell me, what is it about your life that brought you to this point and why you're so passionate about all of this?
So I was happily mooching along as a chemistry teacher, high school chemistry teacher. And we had a few family life events that changed our family makeup.
Okay.
I became ill. My daughter was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Mm. And my then husband also became ill. And the makeup of our family had to change. And my husband didn't address what was going on in his life and the changes that were happening to him. Mm-hmm. And he didn't take any of that on board or see the consequences to us as a family. Mm-hmm. And he became very controlling and he developed narcissistic tendencies, and it transpired in the end that we are separated now, we are no longer together. We ended up being homeless. Wow. And we ended up with huge debt. So that's something that could not continue. It's something that I needed to change. And it did cause me to be self-critical. Mm-hmm. I criticized myself for not helping him through mm-hmm. what he was going through. I criticized for myself for not being able to bring us out of this straight away. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh yeah, this is happening and we will get over this and everything will be hunky-dory tomorrow. And it took about 5 years for me to realize that once we'd separated, we had to move our separate ways. And for me to stop beating myself up and saying that all of it was my fault.
Yeah.
So it's this long process mm-hmm. of criticizing, taking on board and saying to me that actually it wasn't your fault for all of this. There were external factors. And I think that's something that women do an awful lot. When things go wrong to that degree, mm-hmm. we carry it for a long time. Right. And it takes us quite a while to process what's actually happened. Mm-hmm. And then you're adding into that a medical condition. You're adding into that the fact that my daughter's now a teenage diva as well. Being a single mum.
Yeah.
All of these things that you take on board that can have quite catastrophic to some people consequences. And it is having to deal with them all in a logical and chronological way so that you don't end up too burnt out. And I think I did get to the point where it was about to cause that, which was a lot of self-reflection mm-hmm. to come out the other side. And I think my analytical science mind started to click in and say, let's sort these sort of things out. Mm. Add into that hormones, and it is difficult when you're a female and you don't want to talk to people about these sort of things. You don't want to say to your friends, my relationship's gone to pot, my job has not quite worked out, and I'm not actually feeling 100% on top of everything. We don't want to discuss it. We don't want to talk about it. Right. And then as you get older, there's the timeline thing, because as you get older, your timeline starts to shrink and you can see your timeline shrinking. Like when you're in your 20s and 30s, it's like your timeline's all the way over here and you're like, yeah, I've got time to sort that out. Mm-hmm. And then as you get older, your timeline gets shorter and shorter. So the anxiety to get things sorted becomes more increased. And then that starts off more of the imposter syndrome and being more self-critical. So you get into that spiral, and it is looking at how to get yourself out of that and to stop that.
That's amazing. And first of all, I want to thank you for your vulnerability, because you just told us about a lot of things that were really trying for you. And I can sympathize with you in the sense that, or empathize, I guess is a better word, of you going through all of this stuff. You had the financial stresses, you have the relationship stresses, you didn't feel well, and you also were taking care of your daughter, and the parenting of a teenager is hard enough on its own. And so I can imagine that you probably were feeling really overwhelmed at that time. And I'm guessing that, you know, you probably were feeling like you had the weight of the world on your shoulders and possibly couldn't, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It felt like walking through treacle sometimes.
Yeah.
And it is one of those things that we don't discuss at all. We don't discuss that these things can happen. And we don't discuss the fact that it's happening a lot more now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not just because of the last couple of years, but because of the way that we are in society. There are a lot more women post-40s, post-45, who are finding themselves on their own, going through the perimenopause, menopause, those hormones, and still having to deal with the family makeup, be it the children at home, not children at home, children going off from home,
right,
the grandchildren coming in. So there's so many different aspects that you're looking at dealing with. And we don't talk about it. It's the women things we don't talk about.
You know, you're so right. And you've kind of given me this other, you know, aha of the identity shifting, right? So oftentimes we identify ourselves as a mom, and then our kids move off to college or get a job, and now that identity is no longer the same, right? Or maybe we retire from our careers that we've built, you know, and had for 40 years. And now all of a sudden that identity is not there anymore. And so we sometimes can struggle with, who am I? You know, how do I, you know, really clean up the mess, like you were saying, and, you know, you're not feeling your best. And so this is a really, really important conversation. You guys, I cannot wait for me to get a chance to chat with Tracy Moore and find out exactly how she was able to get from that situation to where she is now, where she has a successful business helping other people get unstuck in this way. And so Tracy, I'm going to come back in just a moment and we're going to dive into that. But first, you guys, I have to tell you about something that I have been working on, and I cannot wait to share it with you. It is taking my heart of connection with all of you guys to the next level. So stay tuned real quick. I'm going to tell you all about it, and then we're going to come back and finish our conversation with Tracy. Hey, Lachelle here. And I just got to ask you, do you ever listen to podcasts or special training from gurus who are telling you exactly what to do, but you still have questions? Wouldn't it be amazing if you actually could ask questions to the people who are presenting to give you your personalized answer to how you can get into action and apply it to your unique situation? That is exactly why I created the Better Club Elite, which is a very special, very exclusive monthly membership that gives you access to those question and answer sessions that are going to get you into action and get you all lined up with everything that you need to start being better, doing better, and having better in life and in business. The support, the answers, and everything that you need to get you into action. So let's go. Okay, so Tracy, here you were, you know, in this situation where you were separated from your husband, not feeling well, daughter, you know, diagnosed and, you know, going through the teenage stuff, you were homeless, you had financial debt, all of that stuff probably seemed really overwhelming. You felt alone in the sense you felt like you were failing, I think is what, you know, you said. How did you get from that space? What kind of was it an easy process, I guess? Did you have just like an aha moment, or was it a gradual thing? Tell me about that.
It wasn't an aha moment. It was very gradual, and it had to be in baby steps. I had to take myself to a place where I was grateful that we eventually had somewhere to live, to call our own home. I had to be grateful for the fact that we were still alive because of medical conditions.
Yeah.
That we still, myself and my daughter, we still had each other to support each other. Mm-hmm. So it had to be taking into account where we were and building those foundations in little building blocks at a time. So the walk before you can run stage. so that now when you're in business, sometimes you have those little moments where things don't go quite as well as you're expecting them to, or quite as quickly.
Right.
And you have to think, well, I've got this. I've come from there and I've got this far now. So that the overwhelm doesn't happen again. So the foundations, the building blocks are all in place.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I need to stop a moment and I want you to take this in, because I think so oftentimes we get into imposter syndrome, we get into overwhelm, we get into low self-worth because we're measuring where we are to where we think we should be. And what Tracy just did was describe to us exactly what we need to do to be able to move forward. And that is to identify where we are now and measure it from where we were. And so when we can start to live in the gain of everything that we do have, instead of everything that we do not, we can start to form that foundation, that building block that gives us the strength, the courage, the confidence, right, to take that next baby step. Because if we don't do that, we can wallow into our own victimhood and really just not even know where to start, right?
Exactly. Yes. We have to give ourselves that little bit of space to take into account where we are and, as you say, where we have actually come from, but still at the same time hold where we want to be, so that we are still working towards something. And we need to remember that we are vulnerable, we are imperfect, everybody's imperfect, we're never going to have perfection, but we can strive to be as perfect as we can.
Right. Right. The better version of ourselves. And that's really where we're supposed to go. So you were able to find the small baby steps. You were able to find the appreciation and the gratitude of what you had. What else were you able to do, or what do you guide your clients to do as next steps in order to get, you know, unstuck and move from where they are to where they want to be?
Yes. So I take into account people's already skill set. So I'm ex-teacher, so I can put together programs, I can put together lesson plans, if you like. Mm-hmm. So it's become strategic. So we look at what your strengths actually are and what your comfort zones is. We're always told to work outside your comfort zone. But when you've been through something that's been quite catastrophic, you want your comfort zone, and you want to remind yourself what your comfort zone is and what you are actually good at. And we belittle sometimes women for being the stay-at-home mum, but if you're a stay-at-home mum, your logistical powers are phenomenal. Before 8 o'clock in the morning, you have your kids up, your kids dressed, your kids in clean clothes, your kids fed, washed, watered, and ready to go out to school. I mean, that is a logistical nightmare for some. Exactly. We need to give ourselves praise for being able to do that and have the house clean, the food ready, all of those sort of things that we think are little things and that aren't worth talking about, but they are.
Yes. 100%. I think, you know, I have so much respect for stay-at-home moms. I'm a working mom. And I think that, you know, for me, it's a better fit. I think I'm a better mom because of it, because I don't think that I would be the best version of myself if I stayed at home with them. That's just my honest opinion. And that might, you know, give people some judgment around me, but that's the honest answer. And so I have so much respect for people who stay home. And I think that you have to remember that as a stay-at-home mom, that there are people out here like me that look at you in awe of all of the things that you're able to do and the way that you do it and the way that you keep your calm and all of the things. And so I think that's a beautiful approach, is really just recognizing the skill sets and the talents that we have and how we're using those, no matter what way we're using them.
Yeah. And that everyone's is different as well. So there is no one size fits all. It's what size fits for you.
Yes.
And your circumstance, your current circumstance.
Right.
So that you can take on board and that you can reflect where you're at. So it gives yourself your security and it helps build your self-confidence, because you can see what you've done, where you're at, what you're capable of, and build from there.
Yes. So what would you say the next kind of step or next tip that you have would be?
I would look at planning. So planning out your week is very good for showing how much you actually do, how much you can actually fit in there. Because if you plan out your week and you have, like, if you work like yourself, you can plan out what days and what times you're at work. Mm-hmm. Then you can plan around that when you need to do the shopping, when you need to do the washing, when you need to take the kids to wherever they need to be. And then that gives you that comfort of knowing where you need to be, what you need to do, and what else you can put into your day, your month, your week, depending on how far you plan ahead.
Yes, that's brilliant. And that's something that I do as well. You guys have a plate, I call it the Power 30, where I get together with people on Zoom on Sunday nights or Sunday afternoons, and we plan out our week ahead because it's that accountability. It's something that's boring for a lot of people, but when we do it, everything else falls into place and our overwhelms, it completely starts to fall off. So that's such a brilliant, brilliant tip. And do you find that, you know, what seems to be the thing that holds people up from, you know, really moving themselves from where they are to where they want to be? What do you see the most?
Yeah, I think we go back to, once we've established our comfort zone, it's that stepping past the comfort zone. And if you've been through something, it's the, will it happen again?
That
holds people back. Like, I've messed up once in my life, it's bound to happen again, type of thing. Like, you know, people will say, like, they drop a glass and it smashes. It's like, oh, I've done that again, type of thing. Mm. Well, no, you might have done it last year, but people drop things.
Right.
So that sort of thing we need to realize is normal, and that messing up is part of life.
And I think that, you know, one of the things that you just said made me think of this is that we catastrophize it, right? So, like, so you broke the glass and you clean it up. And you can go to the store and you can buy a new one if you have to, right? And I think that sometimes we put, you know, this giant, you know, field of importance around things, and we're so afraid of them. But in the reality of it, like, what would you do if that happened? Well, I would do this, this, and this. Okay, so it's not as big and scary as maybe you think, right?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. We tend to make things bigger. If it's a negative thing, we tend to make things bigger than they are. And then if it's a positive thing, it's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Why did we do that? I think the awareness of it, though, right, helps us to at least recognize, right? So, like, hey, Lachelle, like, am I, you know, giving myself enough credit for that? Or, hey, Lachelle, are you blowing that out of proportion? And I think that just the awareness of it is important. And so when it comes to that comfort zone and really feeling kind of almost stuck in it, right? Because sometimes our comfort zone isn't all that comfortable. It's just more comfortable than what seems to be on the other side of that, right? And so it sounds to me like you're saying that, you know, coming into the realization of all of the things that we have already that are equipping us to take that next step, to plan that out, to be able to kind of give ourselves more validity as far as everything that we're capable of. And then just kind of taking the next small step. Does that sound right?
Yes. Yes, it does. And for a lot of people, it's difficult to see it on their own. You can do all the planning. You can look at where you are.
Yeah.
But just having, like you say, with your accountability groups, having somebody else there to say, oh, yeah, well, I went through something similar. This is how. You don't have to do it the same, but just knowing that you're not alone when you're doing these sort of things can be so supportive and so enlightening, because you suddenly realize that it doesn't just happen to you.
Yes, absolutely. And being open and willing to admit that to different people is so free, not only for ourselves, but we also give other people the courage around us, because now we don't feel alone.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And one of the things that you have mentioned a couple of times is, you know, the hormonal shifts that we have as women later in life. And so that can make us feel kind of off. So what kind of things would you tell somebody that just, because I think that when we're not feeling our best, it's really hard for us to be our best, right? It's hard for us to do our best. And so what are some of the things that you tell people to help them overcome just their physical self, and when that physical self impacts our mental self and our motivation and our determination and all the things?
Yeah, one of the important things I think we need to do when things start to go off is to track what is actually happening to us, okay, to see whether they are one-off events caused by something happening, or whether it's something that's happening a lot of the time and all of the time. So if your sleep patterns start to get interrupted, if you track, so if you've in a week, if you've had 4 nights of no sleep, there could be something more going on. So if you start to track what is happening to you, so that you've then got a pattern to look at yourself, so that if you feel that it is getting too much, you can then talk to somebody and say, well, this is happening to me, so that you've got a record of it, and to yourself, so that you know what you're looking for, so that you can monitor what's happening to yourself. Because I don't think we're being self-aware is probably the most important thing that we need to take and carry with us, especially as we know that life is not linear. Life is like a roller coaster, and sometimes that roller coaster does things that we're not expecting it to do.
Right.
So tracking and keeping an eye on what's happening to our bodies as things are moving forward is a good way of giving us a benchmark, so that we know what we can talk about and that we know when things start to go wrong.
Yes. And I think that that's such a great transition into the next question that I had for you, because earlier in our conversation, you had talked about how when we get later in life and our timeline starts to, you know, appear smaller, we have to start addressing some of the things that we have, you know, maybe needed to address in the past. And so when we become more self-aware, we can recognize that there are certain triggers, certain things that we seem to respond to. And that oftentimes can lead us back to the root of that, which is what we probably should have dealt with a long time ago.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Things like our anxiety levels, what's makes us feel nervous about things, what sets off our anxiety. So if we look at what it is that's triggering that, and we can then writing it down and visualizing it helps us to map out where it's come from and how we reacted to that particular event, so that we have, once we've mapped it out, we can then say, this is how I react different. And it is being aware of how we respond to that different stimuli.
That's so, just having the awareness of it is the first step, and then you can decide how you want to start responding to that exact trigger in the future as the better version of yourself. I love that. Tracy, is there anything else? Like, I mean, I love this conversation. I think that you're really helping all of us, no matter how old we are or what, you know, gender we are, or, you know, what we're going through, just to really improve that self-awareness. I think that's the first step in really getting us from where we are to where we want to be, is to really recognize where we are. And I would love to know, is there anything else that we haven't had a chance to touch on that you really want to make sure that we incorporate into our conversation?
Well, I think it is basically looking after ourselves a little bit more and realizing that we can talk to others and not take it all on board ourselves, because that is the one thing that we tend to do. As women, we're very good at closing the door and dealing with everything that's happened, even if it's just on that one day, all by ourselves. So externalizing, talking to people, I think is the way that we can help each other to move forward.
That is such great advice. And I'm so grateful for everything that you've been able to share with us today, your wisdom, your life experience. You are very, very inspiring. And you guys, I am going to make sure that you have all of the ways that you can connect with Tracy inside of the show notes, so that if you feel compelled to reach out to her, follow her journey, that you have all of the tools to do that. And Tracy, before we go, I always ask my guests to pose a question to our audience that is going to help them move from where they are to where they want to be. So what kind of a coaching question or a question to ponder would you ask the audience to think about?
Yeah, I would say, is today better than yesterday?
That is really, really good. Is today better than yesterday? And expand on that a little bit. Like, what is your hope that we will get out of that question?
So this needs to be a question that you ask yourself every day.
Okay.
So that you can see if there's fluctuations in your patterns and if you've had a good day, what you say to yourself when you've had a good day.
Yes.
And then if the day hasn't gone so well, then what do you do? Because what often happens is if you've had a good day, you'll say, yeah, great. And you'll move on. If you've had a bad day, you're probably going to dwell on it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So it's a question you want to ask yourself every day and then look at what your responses are to the good days, to the bad days.
I love that, you guys, because better days lead to better years, which will lead to better lives. And so thank you so much, Tracy, for everything. You guys, I hope that you have an amazing, amazing rest of your day. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Untucked Podcast. I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.